Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Mitzvahs Arava Ketzad. Exactly how was the Mitzvah of Arava performed? Says the Mishnah Makom Hayu Lamata Yerushalayim. There was a place near Yerushalayim for Nikra Moitza, and this place was called Moitzah. Yardim Lasham, the Shlichei Bezdin would go there, Umalakdim Lasham Rubayish Shalarava. And from there they would collect these beautiful, long Aravis. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, they specifically needed very long Aravis. And because they needed very long Aravis, this was the place where long Aravis grew. And then the Kohanim would take these Aravis and put it on the side of the Mizbeach. Rashi says that this would take place at the time of the Nisach HaMayim. We will speak in Mitzvah Shem, that a very important part of the Avodah on Sukkis was the Nisach HaMayim. And at the time that they brought the water for the Nisach HaMayim, at the same time they did this entire procedure that we're learning in our Mishnah of bringing the Aravis to the side of the Mizbeach. The Adam Zman points out that not only did they put it around the Mizbeach, but he says they also put it around the ramp that led up to the Mizbeach, because he explains that all of Klal Yisrael had to be represented in bringing the Aravis, and still, since all of Klal Yisrael had to be represented in bringing the Aravis, we needed many Aravis. And if we're not going to put the Aravis all around the Mizbeach, even on the part of the Mizbeach, which is the ramp to the Mizbeach, this just simply wouldn't be enough room for the Aravis. Rishayim and the tips of the Aravis, Kfufin al-Gabi Mizbeach, would be bent over the Mizbeach, and Taku Ariva Taku, and when they brought these Aravis, they blew the shofar. The Shmuel Lekut points out that after the Arava was used on Hashanah Rabbah, there's a question, may they be used for any other purposes. So he says that his opinion is that it may not be used. Once it was hooked to the mitzvah, once it was designated for the mitzvah, it may not be used for other purposes. However, the Urayim disagrees. And the Urayim's opinion is that it's only hooked to the mitzvah for that day. But after that day passes, after Hashanah Rabbah, the Urayim says that you could use it for any purpose. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that the minig is to either put away the Aravis from the Hashanah Rabbah, either for Sreifas Chametz, or to use them for the fuel that should be used to bake the matzahs. The Mishnah says, Taku v'riva taku. Rashi says that what they used to do was they had a tekiah, they blew a tekiah, a teruah, and a tekiah. Why did they do this tekiah, teruah, tekiah? So Tosfos says that it was done mishum simcha. Everything that was done with this was done was done to show simcha and to show that they were so happy in performing the mitzvah. I saw another pshat that it was to publicize how important this mitzvah is. It says the Mishnah B'chol Yom Mekifin Mizbeach Pamachas. Every day they used to go around the Mizbeach once. V'omrim, and they would say Ona Hashem Hashiyano, Ona Hashem Hatzlichano. Rabbi Yehuda says what they used to say was Aniva Hashem, Aniva Hu Hashiyana, Vaisayim, but on Hashanah Rabbah, Makifin and Mizbeach Sheva Pomim, they go around the Mizbeach 7 times. So here we have in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, the first place where we see that there's a new way that they, what they said, they would say as they went around the Mizbeach, Ani Vahu Hashiyana. And there's an interesting question. What does the Anivahu Hashem Hashiyana? Rashi says that Anivahu Hashiyana is the same gematria as Ona Hashem, and even who is the same gematria as Ona Hashem. Another shot that Rashi suggests is that this is one of the Shemus Hashem, the many different Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is one of the Shemus Hashem. Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil v'Ani, says that why did they have to specifically use this shame on Hashanah Rabbah? It's not a shame that we normally find. So he says, the Pasuk says in Yecheskel that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims, v'Ani b'soich ha'goyla. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, v'hu osu b'zikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imay noicha b'tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is together with us in the Golus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come out with us from the Golus. So to represent those two psukim, that's why it says Tosfos, we say specifically the Pasuk, Ani v'hu. And this has not just relevance to what we should say when we go around on the Shana Rabbah, when we go around with the Arava. The much more fundamental question is that how is it pronounced? If, as Tosfos says, it's pronounced because of the Pasuk, Ani b'tzayich ha'goyla v'hu asa b'sikim, so it should be pronounced Ani v'hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in the Golus. But Rav Moshe, in the Shas Tshuvas Igros Moshe, Oyer Chaim Chelek Hei, Simel Amates, says that the proper way of pronouncing it is not Ani v'hu, but it says that it's Ani v'hoi. And he quotes that the Yavetz says that when he was a young boy still, he heard his father pronounce it, and the way his father pronounced it is Ani v'hoi Hashina. And he says, Rav Moshe says, that even though it makes sense, as Tosfos just said, that we should say v'hu, since this is the proper way, because this is the Shem Hashem, as Rashi just said, this is one of the Shemus Hashem, and the proper way of saying that Shem Hashem is by saying Ani v'hoi Hashina. We learned here also that on Hashanah Rabbah, they would go around the Mizbeach, seven times, and the Yerushalmi says that it represents the seven times that they went around the wall of Yericho before the wall of Yericho collapsed. And the Aruch HaNer points out that the whole point of this Avodah, which really says is really the point of everything that we do on Yontif, is to show, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim that he does on our behalf, and particularly the Nisim that he does on our behalf in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, since the wall of Yericho obviously fell in Eretz Yisrael, that's why we commemorate it by going around the Mizbeach seven times. I saw a beautiful vart that what happened with the wall of Yericho. The wall of Yericho collapsed. We, unfortunately, sometimes there's a wall, there's a mechitza, there's a wall that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as Hashanah Rabbah comes and we're finishing the Yom Neroim, what we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that just like the wall of Yericho fell down, so too do we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the wall that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should also fall down. It says the Gemara B'Shas P'tirosan, as they're leaving the Mizbeach on Hashanah Rabbah, Ma'im Oimrim, what would they say? So says the Mishnah, they would say, Yoyfi L'cha Mizbeach, Yoyfi L'cha Mizbeach. Everything we're doing on your behalf. Rabbi Leza Amar, L'cha U'l'cha Mizbeach, L'cha L'cha Mizbeach. We're doing everything for the Avodas Hashem. There's a very interesting question. What is the proper time to say Hoshanis? Some say Hoshanis after Hallel, and some say Hoshanis after Musaf. And the Bach brings a raya from this Mishnah that Hoshanis should be said after Musaf, at the end of davening. Because our Mishnah says, Nabishas Petiroson, as they finish davening, after they did the Aravis, that's when they finished davening, and that's when they said the Nusach that we just learned. Clearly an indication that it's said at the end of davening. And the Gra explains, what did they mean to say by Yoifil Chomes Beach? What they meant to say was that they, as a person finishes doing a mitzvah, he has to show that how much the mitzvah means to him. So he's saying that as they're leaving the mitzvah, they're announcing we're going to miss the mitzvah. We very much are very anxious to have the mizbeach. The Ben Ishchai explains Yoifil Chav Mizbeach is that we know that there's a Beis HaMikdash Lamata, there's a Beis HaMikdash in this world, and there's a Beis HaMikdash Lamala, and there's a Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim. And what we're announcing is that whatever we do in the Mizbeach Lamata, whatever we're doing in the Mizbeach in this world, that Avodah corresponds to the Avodah in the Mizbeach Lamala. And therefore we're announcing as we do this Avodah that we're connecting ourselves, to this Avodah. Why was it said twice? So I sort of say for Mizbech Avonim explains that because they went around the Mizbeach twice, they went around, as we discussed in our previous year, both with the Lulav and with the Arava. So to commemorate both the Lulav and the Arava, they were careful to make a double statement, one for representing the Dalminim and one representing the Mizbeach. So the Aruch HaNer points out, why specifically on Sukkos, we just learned they would say Yoifil Lecham Mizbeach. Why specifically on Sukkos do they speak about the Mizbeach? So he says that there was no yontif on which they brought as many kabbonis on the Mizbeach as Sukkos. So to show how special Sukkos is to us, and that we bring all these kabbonis on yontif Sukkos, the way we show it is, the way we speak about it is by saying Yoifil Chav Mizbeach. Says the Mishnah Maseu B'chol Kach Maseu B'Shabbos. If Hashanah Rabbah fell on Shabbos, they would also go through this entire procedure. However, says the Mishnah, Elo Shayim Lakdim Aysam Me'erev, they would cut the Aravis from before Shabbos, or Menichon Aysam Gigish Shozov, and they would leave them in pails of water from before Shabbos, Kadesh Lo Yichmashu, that the leaves should not become wither. And we see from here that even though where we leave the Aravis, that the leaves should remain intact, is really not part of the mitzvah. It's just a way of having the mitzvah prepared properly. From here we see that the concept of hid the mitzvah doesn't only apply when we're actually performing in the mitzvah, but even when we're preparing to perform a mitzvah, there's a concept of hidden mitzvah. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says, from here we see that the aravos that we use for Sukkos, for Hashanah Rabbah, we should be careful to use beautiful aravos with nice leaves. Otherwise, why would they have to go through the bother of making sure that the leaves of the aravos were so nice? We see from here that the leaves that are used for the aravos should be intact and be nice. They would bring strips of the date of the palm tree, and they would put them on the side of the mizbeach. And Hashanah Rabbah Nikra was called Yoim Chavet, would be called Chavet Arayis, the day that they prepared all these charoyos. Miad, after they finished doing the avoida with the aravos, says the Mishnah, the children would put down their lulavs, vaychlan esrogeim, and they would eat the esrogeim . So Rashi and Tosfos bring two pshatim to exactly what does the Mishnah mean to say what happened over here. One pshat Rashi says is that the gedolim, the adults, would take the lulavim of the children. They would take the esrogim of the children, and it would not be considered gezeila. It would not be considered as if they're stealing something from the children because it was done because of simcha. Another pshat is that the children would take their esrogim and use those esrogim that for to eat them and enjoy them. And Tosfos says, from here, Tosfos says, we have a raya, that if somebody is attending a wedding, a simchas chas v'kala, and sometimes things get a little wild and somebody hurts each other. Since what they're doing is they're doing because of simcha, and therefore, since it says drama, and drama paskins this way in Shulchan Aruch HaShemishpat Simen Shim Ayin Ches, since it's being done for simcha, it's considered as if it's being done b'rishus, and since it's being done b'rishus, the halacha is that you can't hold people responsible if they did damage under such circumstances. The Bach points out that we know that around our lulavim, we spoke about this extensively earlier in our Masechta, we make rings as part of the Eged Lulav. We put rings around the lulav. And the Bach, quoting the Mordechai, that on a Shana Rabbah we take the rings off the lulav. Because he says, as we learned, the reason we do Nanuim is because the Nanuim bring bracha, prevent all sorts of problems in the world. And therefore, on Hashanah Rabbah, which as we're learning is such a very important day, and our tefillahs on Hashanah Rabbah are so powerful, we have to be careful, and we want to be able to do Nanuim on Hashanah Rabbah in a better way, in a stronger way. And therefore, the rings may prevent us from being able to do the Nanuim well. And therefore, do we take off the rings. The Levush says that when you shake your lulav and there's nothing preventing you from being able to shake it strongly, there's a greater level of simcha with those type of nanuim. And therefore, according to these explanations, not only should one take off the rings from the lulav on Hashanah Rabbah, but one should probably take off the rings before we do the nanuim, before we say halal. And in fact, I saw that the Chazon Ish was makbid to take off the rings from his lulav before the nanuim. And in fact, I saw that the Chassam Sofer already took off the rings from his lulav by the night of Hashanah Rabbah, which is interesting because we don't take the lulav at night at well. However, the Yavit says that we only take off the rings from the lulav after Hallel, before we say Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara Tana, we speak about this city called Moitza. It says the Gemara, Moitza was a Makam Klanya. That was a place that was exempt from paying tax. The Tana, the Dom, Moitza. Why is it called Moitza? Says the Gemara, exactly for this reason. Either the Mapik, Mekarga, the Malka, because it was exempt from paying the tax, Karle Moitza. Moitza means exempt. Exempt means that they were exempt from paying the tax. So we learned that they were put up on the side in Mizbeach. Tana, so says the Gemara, when we speak about these Aravis that were used, Rabbis, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, there were many Aravis, Varukas Gvoyis Achras Amma, and they were long, 11 Amma tall. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked that the word Aruchas and Gvoyis are really redundant. So why does that have to say both Aruchas and Gevoyis. And Aruch HaNer, in fact, brings a girsa from the Ritva that takes out the words Arukois and says Rakois, that they should be moist. But the Sfasemis explains, as we're about to begin learning in the Gemara, why we needed that the Aravis should be 11 Amos long, which is extremely long. So says the Sfasemis that let's say you can't find Aravis that are that long. Or I saw that the Chaya Adam says, even we who use Aravis on Hashanah Rabbah, we don't have, unfortunately, a Mizbeach where we're putting the Aravis. But the point that the Agamar is trying to teach us, that even if you don't need Aravis that are 11 Amos long because we don't have a Mizbeach, or you can't find Aravis that are so long, 11 Amos is 22 feet, very long Aravis, there is a mitzvah to use very long Aravis. And therefore the Chaya Adam says that if somebody bought Aravis for his Hashanah, on Hashanah Rabbah, and they're long, he shouldn't cut off the bottom. On the contrary, he should keep them, and like that he'll have nice long Aravis, which what we just learned in the Gemara, Aruchos is something that we want to look for. Long aravos is something we want to look for. Today, shegoyches al mizbeach amma. And why did we need, if we could find aravos that were 11 amma long specifically? The reason we looked for aravos that long is because it shows, like that, they'll be able to be bent over the mizbeach, as we're going to learn in a moment, they're going to be able to be bent over the mizbeach without a problem. So in order to understand this, we have to understand how the mizbeach was built. The way they built the mizbeach was originally they brought four beams. Each beam was 32 amma long, and they made a frame of 32 by 32, and the beam was 1 amma long. And they had this square, and they filled it up with stone and cement, and then that would be serve as the side had the mizbeach. On top of that, they put beams that were 30 amma by 30 amma, the square, and the height of those beams was 5 ammas. And again, they filled up that hole with these different materials. That would be called, and the area on top of that would be called the soiviv. And as we've learned many times in our Masechta, the yesoid of the mizbeach was where many things were poured on the yesoid, and the soiviv was the ledge on which the kohanim would walk around on the mizbeach. So we already now have accounted for 6 amas of the height of the mizbeach. Now they put on another square beams. These beams were 28 amas by 28 amas in the square by the height of 3 amas. And again, it was filled with all those materials. And that's called the Gag HaMizbeach, the roof of the Mizbeach. And then, now we have 6 plus 3, a height of 9 amas. And now we have on each one of the four corners of the Mizbeach a keren, a corner, which had the dimensions of a amma by amma, by the height of an amma. And that, now we have a total of 10. That's the Karnas of Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Amar Mamreim Mishum Azutra, Shmai Mina. So if we learned that the Aravos that we're discussing in our Gemara had to be put on the Mizbeach, and we learned that they had to be bent over the Mizbeach, and we learned also that the Aravos, if we could find them, we should use Aravos that are 11 amas tall, Shmai Mina, Al Yisoid Manachlu. Where did they put it? They put the Aravos on the base of the Mizbeach, and therefore you'll have enough height for the Aravos to bend over and everything, and that will be covered for. This Al-Gadatach, because points out the Gemara, if we're going to suggest that the Aravos are put, Ara Manachlu, that's put on the floor next to the Mizbeach, Michti. Ola Amma, as we learned, the Yisoid, the base of the Mizbeach, was an amma tall, and not only was an amma tall, the konas amma, there was an indentation of an amma, and that we learned was the yisoid. And then, as we explained, ola chamesh, now we have another 5 amas, the konas amma, and there was an indentation of an amma, which was the soiviv. And now we learned also ola sholosh, then it went up another 3 amas, and zem makam kranis. And that's how we had the height of the mizbeach. If the aravos will be put on the of the floor next to the Mizbeach, and we want them to bend over on top of the Mizbeach, on top of the corners of the Mizbeach, Goychois al Gabi Mizbeach Hech Mishkach Slu, how can we ever find that they bend over the top of the Mizbeach if there's too much space because of all these indentations from the floor of the Mizbeach to the top of the Kronos? The top itself is 10 amos, without taking consideration all these various indentations that we just described. Elav, the only way that it could work, that if I have a rovest at 11 amis, that it should be bent over the top of the Mizbeach, the only way that could work is lav shma mino, that a yisoid manachlehu, it was put on the yisoid, shma mino. That's the way we could have that what we want should be accomplished. Amravo, says Rav Maikra, where do we see in the Pasuk that that's the proper way to have the aravos, that the aravos should be bent over the top of the mizbeach. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, and tell him isru chag b'avoysim at karnas mizbeach. Circle the mizbeach on sukkahs with trees. Avoysim means trees. And how could you accomplish that if you have that the aravos are long enough that they could be bent over, even over the top of the corners of the mizbeach? Says the Gemara, Amar Avua, Amar Rav Elazar, Kol Anoitel Lulav BeGudoy. If somebody takes the lulav, Vadas BeAvosan, he takes hadasim that look like a braid, hadasim that are mushuloshim. Malak Lav Akosav, the pasuk considers it Kiilu Ba Mizbeach, as if this person built a mizbeach, Vehikravel of carbon, and he brought a carbon. That's when you, says the Mashah, when you tie your lulav and the hadasim, and you bring the avoid of the dalaminim, and that Mashah makes on a very important point. As we've learned many times in our shiurim, the hadasim actually represent the different types of Jews that are. When you have all the different types of Jews living together in achdus, in unity, in harmony, it's ki'ilu bana mizbeach. It's as if you built a mizbeach, v'ikar alav carbon, and you brought a carbon on that mizbeach. Shenemar, and the pasuk actually says, isru chag b'avoysim at karnas ha-mizbeach. When you connect with all these different ways to the mizbeach, it's when you connect all the dalaminim, it's as if you brought a carbon, as if you brought a carbon on the mizbeach. Says the Amar Rav Yirmiyah Mishim Rav Shim Ben Yochai, Rav Yochai Mishim Rav Shim Ben Hamichuzi Mishim Rav Yochai Hamichuzi. Kol Oisa Usel LaChag Bachil V'Shtoy. If somebody celebrates Yontif properly with eating and drinking, Mal Lava Kosev, the pasuk considers it Kilubana Mizbeach, as if he built a Mizbeach Vehicle of Carbon and he brought Kabanas on the Mizbeach. Shnema Isru Chag Ba'Voisim at Karnas Mizbeach. There's tremendous, somebody who celebrates the Yontif properly with eating and drinking, then he's properly doing celebrating the Yontif. But then I saw that the Mashah has just the opposite approach. He says what happens sometimes on Yontif is people get a little carried away on Yontif, and they eat too much and they drink too much, and they forget that everything we're supposed to do is L'shem Hashem. So says the Gemara, if somebody is Isser, Kala Isser Isser L'chag B'Achil V'Shtiyah, he eats and drinks in moderation, and he remembers that this is a Yontif. It's not just a day that a person should act inappropriately. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we act that way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's as if we built a mizbeach. Another pshat is that the Aruch HaNer says this pshat, the time and the effort and the resources we devote in preparing the mizbeach, in preparing ourselves for Yontif, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers as if we built a mizbeach. The Yin Yaakov says a pshat that we learned early in our Masechta. The Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Lezer taught us early in the Masechta on Daf Chav Zayin on the base. Rebbe Lezer says, Meshabeich Anis Atzlonim. Rebbe Lezer said that Yontif is a time to remain at home. So somebody Isser, somebody ties himself to his home on Yontif and doesn't go elsewhere, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very satisfied with that. Then Eliyahu says that the way to understand the Gemara is that many Mefarshim explain they're speaking about Isru Chag, and that Yontif is not, that not only should we celebrate the Yontif, but one should celebrate even the Isru Chag. And what is the lesson? So in Eliyahu, the Gra explains the person could have a guest. And of course, when we have a guest, we show him wonderful hospitality. He says, but there are two types of guests. There's a guest that somebody is satisfied, happy to see him go. And then there's a guest that we don't want him to go. How do we know that we really appreciated the Yontif? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Yontif, and we appreciate the Yontif. So if we make a celebration, not only on Yontif, but we make a celebration even on Isru Chag, That's a riot how much we appreciate the Yontif. And the Lashon at the Ari Kodesh says, Isru Chag, means that we tie ourselves b'avoisim, with strong rope. We tie ourselves to the Yontif. A Jew doesn't want to go away from a Yontif. A Jew wants to remain connected to Yontif. And that's why there are more paskins in our Chaim Simon Tuf Chof Tes Sif Beis that on Isru Chag, one should eat and drink more than he normally does. It's a Yontif. And the Shas Tshuvas Taras Chaim says that even though we're saying that Isru Chag is a Yontif, we're still allowed to go work on Isru Chag. But then I saw that the Shas Tshuvas Tair Lishma in Simen Kuf Mem suggests that if we're learning that Isru Chag is such an important day, then Isru Chag should be treated like a Yontif. And he says one on Shabbos, one on Isru Chag should wear the big day Yontif, the big day Shabbos. And on Isru Chag, one shouldn't go to work. And on Isru Chag, one should make meals. L'kovet Isru Chag. If our Gemara is saying, Isru Chag b'avoisim at Karnas HaMizbeach, how important it is for us to connect to the Yontif. And the way we show that we love the Yontif and we appreciate the Yontif is by acting this way on the Yontif. And I saw the Seif L'shmai B'lamudim explains kol oisa is lechag beilchila v'shtiya. Av means thick. It means gashmius. We normally look at gashmius as something that isn't part of our avodas Hashem. Teaches us the pasuk kol oisa is lechag. If somebody bavoisim that even with things that seem to be gashmius and aren't important, and we use the gashmius for avodas Hashem. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that's kilu bono, kilu kofi kol hakabonis. The person who not only uses ruchnius for avodas Hashem, but even uses the gashmius for avodas Hashem, he is the person that Kodesh Baruch Hu shows he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Says the Gemara, Amar Chizki, Amar Yirmiyah, Mishim, Rav Shim ben Yechai, kol ha-mitzvahs kulam, all mitzvahs, ain't odm yotz mehem. You could only, whenever you have to use a mitzvah to build something, to make something out of something that grows, you should use it derech gedilosam, the way they grow from the ground. Shnemar, as the pasuk says regarding the boards that were used to build the Mishkan, v'sisas akrosh on the Mishkan atzei sheitim oimdim, and we learn from there atzei sheitim oimdim. The pasuk doesn't just say vasisas akroshim oimdim, but explains the Meiri. It says atzei sheitim oimdim derech gedilosam. That has to be the way they grow from the ground. Tanya nami hachi, and that's what we learned in a brisa. Atzei sheitim oimdim sheoimdim derech gedilosam. The way you should use the wood is the way they grow from the ground. Davar acher, another pshat oimdim shemamidim es sepuyim, that they were made in a way that the Kroshim were gold-plated, and that gold plating remained on the Kroshim forever. Dava Acher, Oimdim, Shem Etaimer, we would think that after the Mishkan was destroyed, over Sivram Abatel Sikuyim, there's no hope, there's no need for this Mishkan. Tamaloyma, Atze Shitim Oimdim, Shoimdim La'olam Elamim, they remain forever. And from here we see that whenever we use something that grows from the ground, it should be used the way it grows from the ground. And in fact, the Torah brings that if somebody is using wood to build his sukkah, the walls of the sukkah, one should use wood that we should use the wood the way it grows from the ground. So the Torah says that it's difficult to understand that halacha. Because as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, the walls of the sukkah do not have to be made out of wood. So if the walls of the sukkah don't have to be made out of wood altogether, why is there a halacha that the wood has to be standing the way it grows from the ground? But the Bach says that, yes, we don't have to make the walls of the sukkah out of wood. But says the Bach, if we are going to make the wood out of we're going to make the sukkah out of wood, we're learning here derech gedilason, they should be used the way they grow from the ground. And the same thing the Paiskim discuss when we do the Nanuim. So certainly everybody is in agreement that when we do the Nanuim, And we know, as we just mentioned, one of the directions in which we do the Nanuim is with the towards the bottom. So everybody agrees that the Nanuim should not be performed with the lulav turned upside down. The question is, Machloikis HaPoskim, how should we do the Nanuim when we're going in the other directions? Should we have the lulav horizontal in those directions when we're going to the east, to the west, to the north, or the south? Or should we keep the lulav always standing? There are those that are machmer, based on what we just learned in the Gemara, that it should remain standing. And however, there are those that say that as long as it's not turned upside down, it's still considered derech d'loson. The Ben Ish Chai says an incredible vort. He says that usually we're very makbid, we're very careful, that when we bury somebody, we bury him laying on the floor. But he says that the Arizal told his Talmud, Reb Chaim Vital, that Rameya Balanes, the Tana Rameya Balanes, was buried standing. And he tries to explain why was he buried standing. So he says, we learned in our Gemara that what do we learn? One of the pshatim that the Gemara learns from Atse Shitim Oimdim. So we learn from here that they Oimdim, that Shema Tomar of its Sivra Mavato Sekuyam, that they no longer could be of help. So our Gemara teaches us that even after the base Mishkan is not standing, it still serves a purpose for Klal Yisrael. And parenthetically, there's a fantastic lesson to be learned from our Gemara. Because we understand when Mashiach comes, the Beis HaMikdash will rebuild. We spoke earlier, the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala will come down. But the Mishkan, why does the Gemara say that the Mishkan never loses its beauty? We won't have a Mishkan after the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So he says that the Mishkan will still serve a purpose even after we have the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Ben Ish Chai, Rameya, we know that we give tzedakah, many people give tzedakah Rameya Balanes. Why do they give tzedakah to a pushka called Rameya Balanes? Because Rameya Balanes stands for us, for future generations, to be mispalo for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Klal Yisrael. Just like the Mishkan we just said remains forever, so too does the Schus Rameya and Rameya's tefillah stay with us forever. So how is that taught, that something remains from ever? We just learned from the Gemara, from the word oimdim, standing. So Rameya was buried standing to say oimdim, that they stand forever. But then I saw another pshat in this Gemara that says that atzishevetim oimdim, that the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu was the one that prepared the Atzei Shittim. If we follow in the Drachim, if we follow in the Derech of our forefathers, then the Halacha is that we will remain forever. Just like the Atzei Shittim were planted by our forefathers, so too, if we will follow the ways of our forefathers, we will always be able to survive and have hope. Because of what we did. And therefore, the halacha is that even the esrig, we have to be very careful. We spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, that when somebody takes his esrig, he has to make sure that the esrig is the way it grows, with the pitim up and the ukitz on the bottom. In fact, we learned Tosfos says, that's why if you want to avoid a problem of how to take the esrog with the bracha, hold it upside down. Because if you're holding the esrog upside down, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. V'amachizki amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'shem Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Yochal ani liftas kol olam kulam min adim, yom shenivreis yirata. He makes an incredible statement. Rav Shimon ben Yochai said that I could have saved the whole world. V'molei elozah b'nimi, and if we have my son Elazar with me, miyom shenivra va'olam v'achshav, from the day the world was created until now. The Mala Yosem ben Yuzay, the Yosem ben Yuzay was a king, Imanu, he would be with us. Miyoin Shenivra Oil Matsofer, from the day the world was created till today. So of course we recognize the greatness of Rav Shimon ben Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar, was because as the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel, that they were hidden in a cave for 13 years. And just like Avraham Avinu explained the Rishonim, said if there's a tzaddik in the world, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Sodom, Avraham told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that tzaddikim, could save the world, so too is our Gemara teaching us, Pashup Shat, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his son Eliezer, who were such great tzaddikim and suffered so much for Torah, to learn Torah, they have the ability to save the world from all the Averis. What was so special about Yosef ben Yosef? Yosef ben Yosef was a king who was a great tzaddik and very modest, because his father was a Metzairah, Zio's father was a Metzairah, and all the years, so he was in quarantine, and he could not be the king. And all the years that Yosef was serving as the actual king, he never, as long as his father was alive, he never officially became king. And not only did he not officially become king, but whatever he said, he always said that in the name of his father. So somebody who acts in such a proper way, such a person is the person that deserves that the world should stand in his schus. The Pashup Shat that Rugus Abaisim is teaching us, that what does the Gemara want to teach us? How a person should be ready to be Mais and Nefesh for Torah. Because we see here that Shim ben Yochai says that my schus was so great. Why was my schus great? Because as we explained, that he was ready to do everything for the Torah Daisha. Why is that? So I saw the Masham in the Shal Sechuvas Masham, Chela Gimel Simen Kufnum Aleph, explains that because the person who we Kol Yisrael Arayim Zelazeh, we're all connected. So since we're all connected, we Shimon Yochai is responsible for us, and here he has chusim, his chusim work for us. But the Aruch HaNer says that the Gemara says that Rav Shimon ben Yochai made a statement, Yochel ani, I could have, but the Gemara says he didn't accomplish that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not agree. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not agree? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that everybody is responsible for what they do, and we can't just have Rav Shimon ben Yochai, even though, as we know, Rav Shimon ben Yochai was such a great tzaddik, we can't have Rav Shimon ben Yochai be the one that does Ra'as Chos. Even though we just said that Yosef, every psak that he gave in the name of his father, even though his father actually never said that. So I saw the Paiskim say there are people that like to issue Piskei Halacha, the Sha'as Chuvas Nishal David, Yeridei Simit HaZayim points this out. There are people who like to issue Piskei Halacha, and they want those Piskei Halacha to have credibility, so they say as if it was said over by somebody else who really never said it. So says the Nishal David, here, as we just explained, there was a special reason that Yosef, who saw his father suffering, that's why he was able, at Kibbutz Av, to say Piskei Halacha that his father never said, as if he said it. But that doesn't give us a right to do so. Another pshat that I saw, what did Rav Shimon ben Yochai mean when he says, Yochel ani, lift us kol olam mikol adim? Because Rav Shimon is the man d'omer throughout Shasta, we have very often, who holds that one is potter and a dovah shen miskaven. He says that even though people unfortunately do averis, but there's a dovah shen miskaven. They do the avera, but they certainly don't intend to do an avera. They fall into the trap of the Yetzirah. And Rav Shimon Yochai, as we just said, and we know, Rav Shimon is always the man d'omer, says that we're potter by a dovah shen miskaven. So since Rav Shimon says, if I'm going to follow my opinion, so my opinion makes you putter if it's a dava shenim eskaven. Another pshat that I saw is that Rav Shimon is also the man d'omer we had in Masechta Shabbos that holds that shnayim shasua. If two people did a melacha together,
So Reb Shimon is the man the that holds that Shnaim Shasua is Potter. So says Reb Shimon, every person that does a melacha, every person that does something, does an avera, there's a combination. Because every one of us is made up of a combination of the guf and the neshama. And there's the famous medrash that says that the guf and the neshama, after the person leaves the world, comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a din Torah, and the guf blames the neshama, and the neshama blames the guf, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu combines the guf and the neshama. But it turns out that if the guf and the neshama are those that combine to do an aveira, it's shnaim shasua. And as we just explained, Rav Shimon holds that shnaim shasua is potter from shnaim shasua is potter from any oynish. And that's why he says, according to my opinion, yochani liftes kol oylem menadin. Says the Gemara, Amar Chizkia, Amar Rav Yimia, Rav Shimon Yichai. Reis ibn Eliyah, I've seen great people, v'heimu atem, and there are very few great people. Ani im elefheim, if there are only 1,000 people in that category, ani ubani, I and my son Elazar are from that group. Im meyahim, if there are 100 people like that, ani ubani imahen, I and my son are between that group. If shnaimheim, and if there are only 2, who are the 2 people? Ani ubanihein. Then those 2 people will be me and my son. So I saw that the Kotzker used to say, Reis ibnei Eliyah, I've seen great people, umatim heim, and there aren't that many great people. So the Kotzker used to say, why are there not so many great people? How does a person become a ben Eliyah? A person becomes a ben Eliyah, behem umatim, if he's modest and he's humble. A person who's modest and humble, that's the person that is the one that is a B'nai Aliyah. Another pshat that I saw is Rav Shimon ben Yochai was a person who I saw this far from Chaim Briska. He used to say that Rav Shimon ben Yochai did what had to be done, and he didn't care what other people would say. Risa B'nai Aliyah, if they're Mu'atimheim, even if we're in the minority, most people don't agree with what we are doing, but we do what we have to do because we think that's the right thing to do. That's the person who's a ben Aliyah. The Baal HaTanya explains the definition of Bnei Aliyah is whatever they do is l'shem shemayim. Ask the Gemara, Mizutra Kulahai, are there so few great people? Vamar Rava Tamni Sari Alpha Dora Tamni Alpha Salfi Dora have the Kama Kamech the Baruch Hu. There are 18,000 tzaddikim in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shunema, as the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Soviv Shemayna Esther Elif. There are 18,000 tzaddikim near Hashem. Answers the Gemara Loist Kasha. Hadam Stakli Besklapi Meira. There are those that could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. For Hadam Loist Stakli Besklapi Meira. And those that can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. Ask the Gemara, or the Mestakli Beskapli Meira Mizutra Kol Hai, and those that could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu so clearly, are there so few? V'amar Abayi Lepachas Alma Metlos and Shitin Tzadikim, the world doesn't have less than 36 Tzadikim, B'chol Yoyim, Shem B'kavli Ap B'shchina B'chol Yoyim, that greet the Shechina every day, Shnema Ashrei Kol Choyke Loi, Loi, the Gematria of Loi is the Gematria of Tlos and Shitin, have 36, answers the Gemara Loi Kasha, Hod the Isle of Babar, that those that could go in without any special permission, they have that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Isle of Bloy Bar. So in other words, there are a number of madregas. There are those that can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. There are those that could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly, but cannot just enter anytime they want. And there are those that not only could they see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly, but they don't even need to have special permission to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They could go in whenever they want. Says the Gemara, B'shas P'tirosan, as they left the Mizbeach, what did they say? Man, Oimrim, they used to say, Yoifil Cha Mizbeach, or they used to say, Rebbe Lezer said, L'ka U'l'cha Mizbeach, L'ka U'l'cha Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, but how could you make such a statement? You're not supposed to connect,
You're not supposed to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and something else at the same time, because as the Braisa teaches us, Kol Mishtat Hashem Shemayim Dova Echer Nekar Min Olam. So how could people make these kind of statements? Shenemar, the pasuk says, Zoyvich Lelakim Yechram Bilti LaShem Levadoi. So how they connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Mizbeach? Answers the Gemara HaKam, and this is what they meant to say. L'ka Anach Nemoidim. First they said, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not that in any way do we not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of the time. And then after they made that statement, they would say, L'cha, and to you the Mizbeach, Ana Meshavchim. We praise the Mizbeach as we speak, as we just finished Avoida. L'cha Anach Nemoidim. We recognize that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'cha Anam Kalsam, and we praise the Mizbeach. We learned in the Mishnah, Kamaseich Mechol, Kach Meshei B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha said that they used to bring these pails from Erev Shabbos and put them on the side of the Mizbeach. Amar Rav Huna, my time, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, why did they bring these pieces from the palm tree? The Ksif Kapois. The Torah, when it speaks about the Lulav, it says Kapois Tamarim, which is shnaim, which means two. Achas the lulav, one was used for the mizbeach, and one was used for the lulav, one was mizbeach. Rabbanon, amri kapas ksiv. Even though it's pronounced kapois b'loshon rabim, but the way it's spelled in the pasuk is kapas, and we have this machlokes very often in Shabbos. Do we go with yesh aim l'mesiris or yesh aim l'mikra? Do we follow the way the word is spelled, or do you follow the way the word is pronounced? Rabbi Levi Omer, the reason they brought that is for Ketamer. Ma tamaza ein lo lev echad. The reason that they used a palm tree, because just like the Tamer has only one channel for all of its sap, Af Yisrael ein lem el lev echad lavim shev shemayim. So too, Klai Yisrael is completely devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no other way. And I saw that the Shem Mishmul says, what is the connection between the heart and the way we serve Hashem? So the Shem Mishmul explains that when somebody has a heart, Baruch Hashem, that's beating, his heart is beating without any special act on the person. It works by itself, the Baruch Hashem, our heart's Baruch Hashem function. So too, a Jew serves Hashem, it shouldn't be something that he's forced to do or think about. It's just your second nature, just like your heart pumps without any special act or initiation that you have to do. So too, we should be so involved in Avodas Hashem that it should come naturally to us.